Would you bring your Bibles? All right, let's make our declaration this morning. Say it with me. This is my Bible. I live by its truth. I walk in its light. I rest in its promises. I'm empowered by its love. And I overcome by the faith produced from receiving this seed sown into my heart. Father, I thank you today for your word. I thank you for clarity, for understanding and insight that will be imparted into each and every one of our lives. In Jesus' name, everybody said, amen. Well, this morning I'm continuing on my theme on the cross and until the Lord releases me. And so this will be the fourth in kind of a series, or actually the third just on the cross. And so if you have your Bibles, open up to John chapter 10. And we're just going to talk about the life that is ours through the cross. But I want you to see this morning and maybe from a different perspective. How many know it's good to see the Word of God from another perspective? Amen. That's why I like having different people come in and hear different words. It's one thing to listen to one person all the time, but you need to hear some other perspectives. Amen. So how many appreciate Pastor Dennis last week? Amen. A great friend, loved it. And how many check the oil in your lamp? Make sure the right stuff's coming up to your wick. Amen. That was good. Amen. So just a great time. But in this area of hearing another perspective, seeing it from another area. And many times that's what counsel does for us. When people go to get counseling and stuff, the reason you get multiples of counsel, because people see things from a different perspective than when you see it. So you take that, all that together, and then you make a better decision if you can have a 360 view of what you're looking at. Amen? And so that always helps us. And so but along with this, in John chapter 10, I want you to listen. I'm going to share maybe a little different perspective this morning on how we think about this. John chapter 10, and let's begin in verse 9. Jesus says, I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved, and will go in and out and find pasture. Verse 10, the thief does not come except to steal, to kill, and to destroy. I have come that they may have life, and that they may have it what? So listen to what Jesus says. I have come that you might have life. And instead of focusing on the word life, too many times, especially in the Church of America, we focus on more abundantly. And we think that the life Jesus came for us to have is a life that just has, is just more abundant with all that this life has to offer. And a hush came over the crowd. Jesus did not come to give you more of what this life has to offer. He came to offer his life and all that it contains. His life has more than anything this world could offer you. Amen. Amen. And so when you receive him, you receive all of his fullness. But if I don't know how to receive his life, then I keep trying to have my life better by adding more of this world's good stuff, I guess, to my life. And if I just had more of this world's good stuff, man, I would really have an abundant life. But how many know that's not true? I've been watching, it's been interesting. I don't know why so many are springing up all over the place. But as I'm driving around just our neighborhood, there are all these new self-storage places rising up. There's a brand on the Cameron Park airport there, on there. They had trailers parked down. And now they've taken all the trailers and they're building this massive storage unit. There's one at the end of Cambridge. It's huge already. Now they're building this one there. They're expanding the one when I get on the freeway on Cameron Park Drive. They're expanding the one there right off the freeway there. And then if you go down El Dorado Hills, as you get by the dam down there, they're building another big storage. Man, that's like four of them that are expanding right here. I'm going, what in the world is going on? People have way too much stuff. They have so much stuff they can't even keep it at their house. They have to pay to put their stuff someplace and every now and then and go visit it like a relative. Yeah. You go down, open your stores, you end up have a little family reunion with your stuff. Because you got too much stuff, you have to pay to keep it at somebody else's place. Living the abundant life. Amen. So watch this morning. What is that? So Jesus said, I have come that you might have life. What is that? My life. My life. The whole purpose of the cross and what Jesus endured is so that us who were dead in sin and trespasses could once again be made alive in Him and be partakers of His life. Never forget the resurrection. The day when destiny, divinity, clothed in humanity, broke every chain of bondage, bore every sorrow and grief, carried every sickness and disease to a hill called Calvary, and nailed it to the cross. 2 weeks ago, I preached that message to you on being nailed to the cross. And there died and paid the price to redeem humanity, rising on the third day victoriously. And you need to remember that the cross is the declaration and is the only place that the judgment of heaven could be satisfied for our sin. It is the cross. It is not God's love that saves you. It is the cross that saves you. God does not save you and pardon you from sin because He loves you. But because He loves you, He sent His Son to the cross to pay the penalty for our sin. And the cross declared you are forgiven and you are free and you are able to have His life in you. Amen. The truth is, there is a God who loved us so much that He would become all man for men. That He chose to come to gather up all that was in the first Adam and do away with it. Our old man has been crucified in Christ. God has put all of humanity in Christ and crucified Him as the last Adam. Hallelujah. All that is of the first man has passed away. Christ has been raised in new form, in new life. We'll break that down a little bit more. By the power of the Spirit, so all can receive new life in Him. That is the power of the cross. The power of the cross is new life. I have come that you might have life. And because I'm willing to go through the cross, into the grave, and out of the grave for you, new life will be available to you. Hallelujah. It is vitally important that each one of us understand why we need the cross and what the cross has done for us. Everything about our faith rests in the cross. And you need to know this today. The devil hates the cross. Because the Bible says in Colossians 2 that Jesus took everything that was against us and nailed it to His cross and triumphed over all principality and power. That's why when Satanists and people want to lash out against Christianity, they turn the cross upside down and they do despite to the cross, because the cross is the place where Jesus declared, "It is finished. The victory is complete." The devil knows it, and you need to live in daily remembrance of it. Amen. See, our life in Christ is living as a believer is a journey, not an event. God's plan for our lives is not just to bring us out, but to take us all the way into the fullness of His promise of new life in Christ. You're here today and you know the Lord. His will for you is that you live in the fullness of His life. Not have a frustrated life, not have a burdened life, not have a life of anxiety and stress and pressure, but the true life that Jesus came. The good news is, just because we started wrong, it doesn't mean we can't finish strong. Amen. We had a sad day yesterday. We went back to our home church for our dear friend, Pastor Rodney Waters, that passed away at the age of 62. He had early onset dementia. And that was diagnosed in 2021, and he passed away a couple weeks ago from that. And just an amazing man of God, a minstrel of God, had ministered here for us over the years. And just, we had known him for over 35 years, just a great man of God. And that, but we're back in our home, and one thing was brought up about Brother Hood would always say, just because you started wrong doesn't mean you can't finish right. Amen. And he'd also say, I don't care how you start, I want to see how you finish. Amen. So the finish line is what we're after. You and I need to know that the devil cannot follow you through the cross. Need to remember that. He can't follow you through the cross. The best he can do is call you back to his side. That's why he's the master of the rerun and the replay of our past. He can only remind us of who we were. He wants us to dwell on the backside of our victory, to live in our past, and give up on the promise of our future. He wants you looking at what was in place of what is and what shall be. Amen. You need to remind him, hey, devil, that guy's dead and gone. Poor Otis, dead and gone. Left me here to sing this song. Amen. Otis is gone. Otis is dead. Otis is gone. Amen. I watch you. You and I need to know that. This is why every believer needs to remember the cross. Daily, not just yearly. To identify with his death for our sin and live on the other side of Calvary in what? New life. And complete victory over death, hell, and the grave. If you have your Bibles, turn with me to Galatians 2:20. Listen to what Paul says. Galatians chapter 2. We won't read all the verses in there today, but we will read a few. Galatians 2, verse 20, Paul says, I've been crucified with Christ. I've been crucified with Christ. How many know that's different than saying the sinner's prayer? Paul didn't say, I said the prayer. Paul didn't say, I raised my hand today. Paul didn't say, I repeated after the preacher. Paul said, I'm crucified with Christ. And the crucifixion was his death. Paul said, I'm dead in Christ. But watch what he said. I'm crucified with Christ. It's no longer I, what? Who live. Now get this. But Christ lives in me. Wait. I have come that you might have life. And have it more abundantly. Paul says, I'm on that, man. I'll take it. I will die if it means that Christ can live in me. Glory to God. Glory to God. Watch this. And the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of what? The Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. And so Christ loved us enough to give himself for us. And so when I understand what he's given for me, I give my life to him. And the great exchange is if I give him my sin and my corruption, he gives me his incorruption and his immortality. Yeah. Glory to God. He gives us divine life. Hallelujah. So the good news keeps coming. Watch this. So let me give you five reasons why we need to always remember the cross just quickly. I'm not going to dwell on these long because I want to get to the end of this message this morning. You just need to remember these. You can hold them. Keep them as a reminder. Praise the Lord. The cross frees us from guilt and condemnation. Amen? We're free from the guilt and the condemnation of our sin. Therefore, just look at Romans 8. We're right there. We won't read the Old Testament one, but you can look all these scriptures at Romans 8. Just says it clearly. There's therefore now no condemnation. Say no condemnation. To those who are what? In Christ Jesus. Now, wait a minute. You can't be in Christ Jesus unless you've died and you're raised new in him. You can't be in Christ Jesus just because you raised your hand, said the prayer, did that thing. That doesn't put you in him. This is life after death. This is resurrection. So there's therefore now no condemnation who have passed through, who accepted the death, identified with the death, died to themselves, and now are living new life in him and living by his life. To those who are in Christ Jesus, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. But watch this. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. Glory to God. So if I'm living in him, I'm free. Hallelujah. Amen. The law of life in Christ, not the law of me. Stay with me. So we all stand guilty before a holy God. We could not and cannot atone for ourselves. We needed a sinless sacrifice. Jesus became our guilt bearer. Amen. Go to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Verse 21. Listen, speaking of God, for God made him his son who knew no sin to be sin for us. that we might become the righteousness of God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. God is so good. Amen. So Jesus did that for us. Think about it. See, we no longer need to feel unqualified to be in His presence. Because He who knew no sin became my sin, carried my sin, paid the price for my sin, conquered my sin, rose triumphant over it, and now through His blood and through His atonement, we are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. And we live in His light. 1 Corinthians 1, verse 31, He has been made unto us wisdom, righteousness, sanctification, and redemption. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Amen. So Acts chapter 10, and I won't read it to you, verse 9 and 8, God trying to bring a revelation to Peter on the Gentiles and how He wants to bring them into salvation. And so He has Peter up on the roof and in Joppa there, and He lowers this sheet down and it unopens, and there's all these animals that the law says are unclean to eat. And the Lord says to him, this is why God believes in hunting. Okay, let me just do a little survey here. How many in here are 100% vegetarians or vegans or something like that? You don't eat anything with a face or a mama. That's a vegan. You can't have a face or a mama. Okay? I don't see any hands. So everybody else in here chews on some form of meat. Amen. Meat is a great word. Stands for me eat. Amen? Yeah. And so with that, but if you're eating meat, somewhere that meat had to die. Yeah. And that means somebody did your killing for you. Yeah. I like to do what God told to Peter. He said, Peter, rise, kill and eat. Yes. He said, I can't believe you go hunting. I can't believe you go out there and shoot those little bambies. Yes, I do. Amen. With a big smile on my face. Amen. And I go, man, that is going to be so good. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. We had some dear friends of ours, a couple that was our bridesmaid and best man and in our service, our pastor's daughter and son-in-law. They were up at our house in Bieber, and so we made these hamburgers, and they're made out of venison burger. And Debbie's just chowing down on this burger. She's loving it, man. Oh, man, this is so good, darling. This is awesome. I go, yeah, you like that? Debbie goes, yeah. I said, that's the venison. She goes, and dropped. She was loving it till she knew what it was. Amen. I don't know why I'm telling on Debbie. Love you, Debbie. Amen. Anyway, but some of that, but it's just meat. Amen. It's just meat. We have an affinity for Bam. What about that poor little chicken leg you ate? You just going out, wings, little chicken. What a little chicken? You chomping on him and you go, oh, I can't believe they killed that little chicken. Amen. Well, let's get back to the word this morning. But the Lord said to Peter, rise, kill and eat. And Peter goes, not so, Lord, they're unclean. Those are all unclean. I won't do that. And this is what the Lord said. Don't call unclean what I've called clean. And God, through Christ, has called you clean. Never call yourself unclean again. Never call yourself unworthy. Once you've been to the cross and you're covered by the blood, you are raised up in the righteousness of God. You are no longer unclean in God's sight. Amen. The thing you need to rise and kill is that lie that tries to tell you you're still unclean. Amen. Secondly, the cross delivers us from the oppression of the devil. Since the fall of man, humankind has been separated from God, tormented by the devil and his attack. Acts 10:38 says that this Jesus, whom God anointed with the Holy Ghost in power, went about doing good, healing all who were oppressed of the devil. Amen. And being oppressed by the devil doesn't mean being demon-possessed. It means you are tormented in your mind. If you're here and you're a believer and you're struggling with anxiety and you're struggling with pressure and stress and you have all these worries and you're carrying all these burdens, that is oppression. And Jesus died for you to be delivered from the power of the enemy and the oppression of the devil. Amen. Since the fall of man, humankind has been separated and tormented. Jesus' death on the cross brought an end to the overlord power of Satan. Jesus destroyed his power and rule over the hearts and minds of people, bringing freedom to all who were oppressed by him. Amen. That's what Colossians says. I told you that he took everything against it and nailed it to the cross and triumphed over principalities and powers openly. Thirdly, the cross heals us from pain and suffering. Go with me to Psalm 103. I don't care whether it's your finances. I don't care whether it's your stress, your worry. If you have something that isn't working, whatever, if your faith in God isn't big enough to give you victory over that, you need a bigger God. God is a big God. And he's bigger than anything you're carrying. And Jesus already carried all of it to the cross. Look at Psalms 103. Bless the Lord, O my soul. And all that what is within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not what? All of his what? Benefits. Who forgives what? All of our iniquities. Who heals what? All of our diseases. Who redeems your life from what? Destruction. Who crowns you with what? Loving kindness and tender mercies. Who satisfies your mouth with what? Good thing. So that your youth is renewed. I'll take some of that.
Amen.
Pastor, you mean you believe all that? Well, yeah. I believe that God's true and man's a liar. I can't believe how many people just go with people who doubt the word. I know somebody believe God and this and that. I don't care about anybody else's experience. I'm never going to let somebody else's experience counteract God's word. I don't know anything about that person. I don't know anything about their life. I don't know what was in their lamp and what was light in their wick. Hello? I don't know anything about them. Well, I know people did that and didn't turn out. I don't care. I don't live by people's experiences. I live by the word of God. Because Jesus said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. I choose to live by the word of God. I live by what does the word say. Amen. I'm going to wear this bracelet until it rots and falls off. Amen. We've had these for about 15 years. And I've kept trying to find another, please hear me say it every now and then, to get other ones that are embroidered. I'm not really a fan of the rubber ones. They give me the creeps. This one stays on. This thing hasn't come off. This has been on my hand, this one here, probably for about 3 years nonstop. I have one more left in a drawer at home. We originally made these. We made 300, gave them to everybody in the church. Amen. Because it just stands for what does the word say? When you live by what does the word say, it'll change your life. The word says you are forgiven. The word says you are redeemed. The word says he's forgiven all your iniquity. He heals all your diseases. He restores your youth. I think I'll just live by the word. I tell people, if you want to believe that, go ahead. If you have faith for fear, doubt, unbelief, destruction, and devastation, God bless you. Amen. May it be unto you according to your faith. Amen. Amen. People say, well, you're one of them name it and claim it and blab it and grab it guys. Yes. But so are you. Because you're either naming and claiming the word or you're naming and claiming sickness and disease. Listen to people. They're confessing stuff all the time. And then they're like, I don't know why my life's turned out. Because Pastor Dennis said it yesterday. You got the wrong oil in your lamp, honey. Amen. Amen. Last week, he made it so clear. And so what's coming out of your mouth is what you're living by. The fruit of your lips. Amen. And so we've been delivered from suffering. Look at this. There is a common fallacy that sickness and suffering are a part of the will of God. Nowhere in the Bible do we find anything to substantiate it. Matthew 8 says that Jesus himself bore our infirmities and carried our diseases. He called the people to himself and he healed them. And Isaiah, and they said it was the fulfillment of Isaiah 8 where he himself took our infirmities and bore our sicknesses and carried our diseases and nailed them to the cross and declared that we are the healed of the Lord. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. What we do is find proof that we are free. Because see, in the Word, because sickness and suffering find their source in the work of Satan and are the result of man's disobedience. Now, through one man's obedience, you can read it in Romans chapter 5, verses 12 through 21, we are now redeemed and we are free. Somebody ought to shout amen.
Amen.
Number four, the cross enables us to overcome anxiety and fear. Go with me to 1 John chapter 4. First John chapter 4 and verse 18. There's no fear in love. But perfect love casts out fear because fear involves torment. But he who fears has not been made perfect in love. We love him because he first loved us. See, when I love God and I just abide in his love and the understanding of him giving his life for me so that I could have his life, then I choose not to violate that love by stepping into fear. Amen. With the fall of humanity, humanity was sentenced to a life of hard labor. Whereas man was once surrounded by everything he would ever need for life, health, and health, now he and all of his descendants were condemned to a life of difficulty and effort. Thorns are a part of the curse, symbolizing mental fatigue, which is why it is significant to us that Jesus wore a crown of thorns upon the cross. In this act, he took upon himself all the agony of spirit and anxiety of heart that plague lost humanity apart from God. A lack of peace in our mind and spirits is the number one plague upon humanity. How many know there's a lot of stupid going on in the world right now? Our nation has just flipped itself on its ear. The things we are tolerating in our society and our leaders are endorsing, and the things that is happening, the protests that are taking place on our college campuses, and the things that are hating, and the hatred against Israel, and the type of things that are being declared, along with every other act of stupidity that's taking place, is just amazing. And people are getting stressed out over it. I just look at it and I'm amazed. I said, I just can't believe that people are that gullible and that stupid. But the Bible says in the last days, because people reject Christ and the cross, that in the last days strong delusion will come upon the people and they will believe a lie. And there are more lies being propagated and promoted and proliferated in our culture today than ever before on a global scale. Which just means that we are closer than ever before to the return of the Lord. So if I was you, I'd kind of get up every morning and do this. I'd be a little light on my feet. Say, Pastor, what are you doing? Just a little rapture practice. I don't want to be so grounded in this world that I'm not ready to go. Amen? I'm a first load believer myself. Pastor, you believe in rapture? Yes, I'm on the first bus out. Amen. But until that comes, I'm going to be faithful to preach the gospel because I want other people on the bus with me. The rapture is not an escape theory. It's a promise. The rapture is not an escape, it's a promise. It's the bridegroom coming for the bride. You are married to the Lord Jesus Christ. You are betrothed to him. He has gone to prepare a place for you. And there's going to be a trumpet sound that announces the bride is going to come back. And just like they do in the Jewish wedding, he's going to put the church and carry us into his place with him. Glory to God. So we're close to the call. Amen? So look at what it said. that God has given us, and He's brought us and set us free from that in 1 John. So we are free from that anxiety. Amen? Amen. So think about it with me. A lack of peace in the minds and spirits of people is the number one plague. Because He carried that curse of thorns for us, we are free in the power of faith to walk in the way of God's kingdom and live free from anxiety and fear. Amen. Many times when I pray for people, the only thing I pray, be free in Jesus' name. The will of God is for you to be free. Look what Jesus said. Those who the Son sets free are free indeed. Sometimes we just volunteer for stupid stuff. We sign up for anxiety. We sign up for fear. Why would you carry something that He carried for you? Why would you take back something that He took off of you? Lastly, the cross has given us victory over death. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus. Amen? Because of sin, all of humanity was cut off from the source of life. Genesis 3, now there is a new tree of life. And that's through the cross. We also know that natural physical death is not the end. We must face God's eternal judgment. Hebrews 9, it's appointed unto man once to die, then after that the judgment. Everybody will stand and give an account before God in judgment. And so it's important how we live our lives for Him. Through the death of Christ for our sins upon the cross, the judgment of death has been removed. He bore judgment of death for us. Thank God for that. Christ died for all to free all from the condemnation, from the contamination of sin and the penalty of death. Amen. I mean, you know, the world just likes to dump on you. Amen. And so we need to be careful and not let that happen. But He freed us from the penalty of death. And there is no one who does not need His atoning work in their life. There's no one who is good enough who has not been affected by sin. See, sometimes we just think our old life is not that bad. Now, some of you, I've used this illustration before. I'm going to use it again this morning, add a little bit to it. But years ago, my dear friend John Muncy, this was probably maybe over 25 years ago that John used this illustration in youth camp, trying to illustrate to the kids in a way that they could wrap their mind around it. Because sometimes we overthink things and way complicate things. Kids, if you can just show them a clear illustration, okay, I get it. Amen. That's why the Bible says, except you become as a child, you can't enter in. Some of you need to just dumb down a little bit. Just become more like a child. Quit trying to figure it all out, analyze it all, logisticize it all, categorize it all, strategize it all, compartmentalize it all, and just believe God. Amen. And so many times, you know what, my life really isn't that bad. This is my prayer towel. I've kept this for a long time. It's a golfing towel made by Precept Golf, and I like that. So how many know perception is everything? Look what this says. It's what's inside that makes a winner. I said, man, that's scriptural. I like that. It's what's inside. Christ in you makes you the winner. Christ in you makes you the overcomer. But see, sometimes we just think our life isn't that bad. So what we do is that we think, you know what, my life really isn't that bad. That's really not poo in my Cheerios. My life is not a bowl of Poo-Yos. And you know what, God, if you could just get that out of my life, the rest of my life wouldn't be so bad. How many would eat that if the poo was gone? Not really. But see, we don't think our sin is equal to poo. We think our sin isn't that bad. We think our sin doesn't stink. Sin is a stench in the nostrils of God. This is the best illustration ever. Jesus didn't come just to take the poo out of your life. And many people, that's why they're coming to God. God, if you could just get this out of my life, just take this part out of my life, the rest of my life would really be cool. Jesus didn't come to give you a new life. Jesus came to take your old life, throw it in the trash of the grave, to give you a brand new life, a brand new life, and then to fill your life fresh and new. I don't know about you, I don't want Pooyos, I want Cheerios. I know that's heavy deep. But that's exactly what people do. And people wonder why, how come my faith isn't working? Because you keep asking God just to get the crap out of your life. That's poo in the Greek. Amen. This message for you online today, all these guys got it down. We think. So, Pastor, where'd you get that? Well, it's funny, I preached this message, oh gosh, years ago. And no. Annie Spencer, Chris and Annie moved to Tennessee and ministering back there. And so I preached this message, and on Monday when I came into my office, this was on my desk. Annie went home and made this and put it on there and said, Pastor, that's awesome. Here you go, use this. So I've had this for years, used it and that. But this is really, listen, this is what people do. Listen to what the church has done. We've taken away the death, burial, and resurrection of Christianity. And we've replaced it with self-help. So now we're we're telling people, here, let us help you. We're going to get in here with you. I'm not getting in there with you. I don't want to touch your poo. I don't want to deal with your poo at all. I want to flush this thing. Amen? And so, well, could you counsel me through it? No, I'm not counseling you through nothing. You need to die, and you need to nail your old life to the cross, and you need to be raised up in newness of life. There's nothing worth saving here. Every part of this is contaminated. Your old life is not worth redeeming. Jesus didn't come to give you an old life. He said, I came that you might have life. I came that you might have my life, new life, formed in me and now alive in you. All I need is for you to empty your old life out so I can pour my new life in. Because God said, I'm not putting none of me on top of that. Because that's what God just put a little, just sprinkle a little on. Nobody will know it's in there. They will know. If you could see my wife's face right now, it's awesome. Pastor, what are you saying? Look at your outline. Yeah. Jesus did not come to remove the bad from our lives. He came to give us new lives. Hear me this morning. When we reduce the gospel to a promise of just making our lives better, we take the resurrection power out of the gospel, which leaves us in a frustrated state of discouragement because that was never the purpose of why he came. Jesus did not come to make your life better. He came so that you could identify with his death for you and die to the old and be raised in the new. Glory to God. He did not come just to make our life better. He came that we might have new life, his life, living in us, eternal life, free from the curse of sin and death. Because let me tell you, this is the problem. We keep trying to cover up our life in the poo of our old man with just a little bit of scripture and confessions and doing all this stuff. But pretty soon, all that begins to wear off and the poo rises to the surface again. I'm just preaching in a way you could wrap your mind around it this morning. You see, He came in such a way that He could literally give us new life. New life planted in the womb of our spirit, our hearts growing into His full formed life to be manifest, seen, and made known in our mortal bodies as vessels of His life. He came to put His life, not Himself on top of something to fix that. He wants you filled with all of His fullness. In the very same way that Jesus was formed in the womb of Mary, Christ is being formed in the womb of our spirits. The spoken word of God became a living seed in her womb, grew and developed into the living Son of God. The spoken word of God becomes a life-giving seed in our heart, and we are born again, and Christ is now being formed in us. Paul said in Galatians 4:19, "My little children, for whom I labor in birth again until Christ is formed in you." You see, we have to understand that when Jesus was raised from the dead by the Father, He was raised up into an absolute new life that had never been before. I don't have time to go into all of it this morning, but John chapter 1 says, "In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God, and the Word was God." But then it said, and the Word became. The Word became. The Word was formed. The Word was made flesh. The Word was not flesh before. The Word was with God. The Word was God. But then God's Word took the form of flesh, became brand new life. And then that new life that God formed took upon His life, your sin. And then that new life that God formed was buried in the grave, crucified, died, was buried in the grave. And then God raised up that new life that had never been before. And now the Word is not God, but now that new life called the only begotten Son of God is seated by His right hand, and you are joint heir with Him. And when you accept Christ, your life is hid in Him. Brand new formed life. Hallelujah. He was raised to an absolutely new life, a life that he had not lived before He was incarnate. He was raised to a life that had never been before. And His resurrection assures us that we can be raised up into His new life, not our old life. Read Romans chapter 6. Listen to what I'm saying. See, Jesus isn't raising us up. He isn't fixing our old life. He's raising us up in newness of life. Brand new life. Glory to God. Watch this. It's true that we will one day have a glorious body like His, free of all corruption. But we can now know the experience of effectiveness of His resurrection and life in the promise and freedom of newness of life. As long as we are self-aware and seeking only to fix our old lives, to cover up our mistakes, make over our failures, undo our wrongs, and resolve our conflicts, and just remove the poo. We will miss out on the power of His resurrection. Hear this morning. You cannot fix what has to die. You can't fix what has to die. If your Christianity is a fix, it's not. Jesus didn't call you to fix it. He called you to die to it. To die. Romans 6 says, reckon yourself dead. And that's what you have to do daily. You have to remind, no, I'm dead. I'm dead in Christ. I'm not going to live anymore. I'm died to my old life. I'm living a new life. Glory to God. You have to tell the devil, because the devil remembers all of your poo. He reminds you of all the times you dumped on your own life and what you did, how you contaminated your life with your choices and your mistake. I said, wait a minute, that's gone. That life gone. That guy's buried, he's gone. Amen. How many heard that? Talk to the hand? Yep. You need to lose that and say, talk to the cross. Amen. You want to bring something up against me? You got to talk to the cross. You got to go through the cross to get to me, and you can't get through the cross. Glory to God. Amen? So here, as long as we're self-aware, trying to make it over, we miss out. You can't fix or preserve what has to die. Jesus did not come to bring us self-help answers. He came to put to death the old and open the door to raise us up with Him in new life. Amen. So worship team comes back. And I'm not against help. I'm not against counseling. I'm not preaching against counseling that. I really don't like to counsel. You say, Pastor, why don't you like to counsel? Because people really don't want help. They really don't. They want you to agree with their side of their problem. Most people in marriage counseling want you to believe that their spouse is their problem. And if you could just, they could just fix their spouse, they wouldn't have a problem. No, you're both the problem. And unless you die and get raised up in newness of life, your marriage is always going to have problems. A marriage is two resurrections, two deaths, and a resurrection. Two people who died to who they were to become one together. Every marriage is frustrated by people holding on to their own life, my way, this way, this way, that, that. It's all self-centeredness. When you get married, you don't get to be a self. You don't get to be you. You get to be one. Amen. And that's a battle. And every day, you have to get up and die to yourself to be one together. Are you doing all right?
Yep.
Same thing with Christ. We don't get to be ourselves. Look at this. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. Let me just back up. But what we've done in the church, instead of leading people into death so that they can be raised up in life, we bought into the self-help theory. So we have tons of programs at the church, but people are just cycling through those programs and going through it over and over. I'm all for recovery. I'm all for everything. I'm into one-step recovery. Well, Pastor, I know a lot of people. I know a lot of, don't misunderstand what I'm saying. But Jesus didn't give people 12 steps. He took them through one step. It's called deliverance. It's called breakthrough. It's called the power of God. And because we've given up on the power of God, because we won't pay the price through prayer and fasting and seeking God and living a consecrated life, we don't carry the anointing. So now we have to go to the world and we have to come up with power and we have to sanctify secular psychology and bring it into nuthetic counseling. Instead of just praying for deliverance, let's just get together and let's pray and let's seek God and fast until that thing breaks off of your life.
Yeah.
And you get up free and you don't, because here's what happened. I'm not against it. Please misunderstand. I'm not preaching again. I'm just trying to reveal some things here this morning. But how do you help somebody in a recovery program that has to say every time they meet, I am an alcoholic? No, I'm dead in Christ. I'm a new man. I was, now I'm free. Amen. I shot drugs. I was a heroin addict at 19. That's how I ended up with hepatitis C at 54. Because I put something in my veins at 19 that I shouldn't have. Are you with me? But when I got saved, I got delivered. My old man died. I'm no longer anything. I'm a new creature in Christ Jesus. I'm not keep confessing my past. I'm going to declare who I am. I was, now I am. I was, now I am. I was, now I am. Glory to God. I hope I'm helping somebody. I'm either helping somebody or getting in a whole lot of trouble today. So look at what Jesus said. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. This man came to Jesus by night and said, Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher come from God. No man can do these signs that you do unless God is with him. Jesus just answered and said, most assuredly, I say to you, unless a man is born again. Born again into what? Into new life. Into raised up into new life. He cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus said to him, how can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered and said, most assuredly I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of flesh is flesh, and that which is born of spirit is spirit. So why did God send his son? What is the Holy Spirit trying to reveal to us? I believe it's so much simpler than what we have made it. But because it's simple, it doesn't mean it's easy. His goal is to give us new life. And new life comes through death. God's goal is to give you life after death. I know I'm getting in a lot of trouble, but that's always kind of been my middle name. Because we're just thinking about just getting a little more of that back. Jesus said, unless a grain of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abides alone. Yesterday, we went back to our home church. As I sat during that service, I remember today, I'm looking at the platform. Behind the platform wall, there was a room behind there. It was the prayer room. And that prayer room on December 13th, 1978, I went in that room and I knelt down at a metal chair. Five-year-old man, broken, failure, nothing in life would give him. Absolutely nothing. Just a life of failure. And at that chair, I gave my life to Christ. I said, Lord, I give my life to you. I'll live the rest of my life for you. I'll go wherever you want me to go. I'll do whatever you want me to be. I'll be whatever you ask me to be. I'll say whatever you tell me to say. I'll live the rest of my life for you. And I gave my life to Christ today. I can mark that day. Every time I go back into New Life Assembly, I see that prayer room and I remember December 13, 1978, almost 46 years ago, that's where I died. That's where I said yes to Christ. And ever since then, I've had to remind myself to live dead. All of us have our old man that wants to rise up, but something powerful happens. Not just when I remember a day when I repeated a prayer, but something powerful happens when you remember the day you died and you gave your life. Romans 12 says, I beseech you, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God. That means your living life. You have to bring your living life. And you have to give it to Jesus Christ. You have to have your chair someplace with God. Not the prayer that somebody else led you in. Not the prayer that somebody else told you. The prayer where you say, God, I don't want you just to fix my life. I don't want this covered up. I want this thing completely gone. I want the old man buried. I want him gone. I want him removed. I want to be raised up in newness of life. I want to be filled with your fullness. I don't want a covering of religion and just things over my life. I want fullness of your life in me. Stand with me this morning.